Welcome to In the Word with Roy Edwards, where we dive into the timeless wisdom of the Scriptures with your host, Pastor Roy Edwards. He is the senior pastor of Redemption Church in Casa Grande. Service times are Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more information, check out www.redemptioncg.org. Prepare to be uplifted, encouraged, and challenged by the Word of God. Let's jump right into the message.
The title of my message this morning is This Means War.
Amen. Amen.
This means war. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. Paul is writing the second piece to a church, a church that's struggling, a church that's carnal in many ways, a church that is struggling, to a people who are struggling. And Paul picks it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. And he says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Father, as we dive into your word this morning, we realize, Lord, that we are in a war today. And God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. God, give us a heart that's soft and teachable this morning and moldable, and God, bent towards the things of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
So I looked up that word. I looked up that word, warfare, and it means this. It means an expedition. It means a campaign. It means military service, or it means a war. And we need to understand, listen to me, we need to understand today that we are in a war. We are in an absolute all-out assault in war. And if you turn on Fox News or CNN or ABC or CBS or whatever news channel you get, or YouTube or whatever you choose to get your news from, you will see that there are wars raging around the world today between Russia and Ukraine, against Hamas and Israel. I won't say against Gaza and Israel, because Gaza is Israel. I'm going to need help now, because that's the land that God gave those people, and he has not changed his mind yet, y'all. Contrary to what you hear in the news, it's not the Gaza Strip. It's Israel. And it will always be Israel until the end of time, until when Jesus steps foot back on that land, it will still be theirs. And we need to understand today that there is an absolute war going on. And the enemy of our soul has staged an attack. Whether you realize it or not, the United States, the church, Christians as a whole, we are at war. And we have an enemy, and he is alive and well, and he's working overtime to try to destroy us. So the title of my message this morning is this: This Means War. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." I love that the writer here, David, is writing this, and he's saying, listen, blessed is my God, who's my rock, and he trains my hands for war, because David knew it through God that there's going to be some fights that we're going to have to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul again is writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I like this in the New Living Translation. He says this. He says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So Paul here is showing us who the enemy is. And I have to tell you this right off the bat in week one of this series. That's what some of you walked in this morning and you went, why are there sandbags in here? And ammo cans and camouflage. It's just to keep it in your forethought this morning as we have this theme for the next few weeks about we are in a war and this means war. You need to get this right off the bat. Paul is showing us who our enemy is. First point is this. Your enemy is not people. Your enemy is not people. You're going to have to help me this morning, y'all. Your enemy is not people. You see, you, if you're going to fight, you need to know who you're fighting. If you need to know who you are fighting, you need to identify the enemy. Because listen to me, you cannot fight an enemy that you have not identified. You cannot fight an enemy you have not identified. And so in Israel, for instance, we have a very clear enemy. It's Hamas. And it's evil. It's one thing to fight a fight and kill an army, to kill a military. But when you are taking tires, listen to me, when you are taking tires and you are putting them and you're putting people in the midst of a tire, you're putting a tire around a pregnant woman's waist and you're lighting her on fire and you're recording it. Israel has clearly defined their enemy. And they are going after their enemy. Come on, if you're gonna fight somebody, you need to. You can't fight what you can't see. You can't fight what you cannot identify. My son, as many of you know, fights jujitsu and catch wrestling and kickboxing and all kinds of stuff. And so before he goes to a tournament. On the tournament website, you can find who your opponent is. And then we do a bunch of research on the opponent to see how many times he's won, see how many times he's lost, see how many times he's tied, how many times he's fought, because we want to know who we're fighting before we get into the ring. Before we get onto the mat, we want to know who our enemy is. Right? And so you have to know. I've told you this story maybe in the past. I for a period of time when Greta and I first got married, I was a manager of a bank. I was the assistant manager of Bank One, inside of Fry's, down the old Fry's on Florence Boulevard. Now it's, I think, groceries or something, I don't know, the pharmacy. But I was the manager of that bank. And when I would teach new tellers, when I would hire new tellers, new cashiers, I would get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash out of the safe, and I would lock them into my office, and I would put a blindfold on them, and the FBI, for training purposes, gave us several counterfeit bills to train, not to use, but to train. And so what I would do is I'd give them a huge stack of real money. And every now and then I would put in some fake bills and I would blindfold them because it was different kinds of paper. I'd say, just kind of count the money. I know you can't count it because you can't see, but I want you to feel all of the bills. And when you feel the counterfeit, I want you to tell me. And so they would put on their little sleep mask and their little blindfold, and they'd go up, stop, and they would stop, and they would hand me the counterfeit bill. And what I was teaching them, and this is what I'm going to teach you over the next few weeks, is this: we need to get so familiar with what is true. Because listen, I couldn't, as a bank manager, I could not give them every bit of counterfeit bill that was out there, because they, quite honestly, it changes all the time. And so I didn't want to, listen, I did not want to train them on the counterfeit. I wanted to train them on the true. Because listen, if you understand what is true and is right and what is good, you'll be able to pick out the counterfeit. And so what happens is this: we have to understand who our enemy is, but we don't focus so much on our enemy. We focus on the one true God. We focus on our Savior. And I am convinced the more that we know the true one, the righteous one, the way, the truth, and the life, the more that we know Jesus Christ, we'll be able to spot the counterfeit into our lives. But this morning, for this purpose, I need to teach you who your enemy is. And your enemy is not people.
Right.
It's not. You need to know who you're fighting. I looked at that word wrestle. Wrestle. I like this word, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Wrestle. And the word there in the Greek, it means a contest between two people in which they endeavor to throw the other. And which it's decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand on his neck. Yesterday, my son was in a tournament and he choked a guy out. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. I think the guy tapped. So, but listen. It's to wrestle, and so we wrestle, but we have to realize that we don't wrestle with people. We don't fight with people. And I am convinced that the enemy this morning is trying to attack us by getting our focus off of him and focus onto each other. Watch 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. I love this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He says, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." The New Living Translation says, listen, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. So look, the writer here is identifying the enemy. It's the devil. It's not your boss. It's not your boss. Your boss is not the spawn of Satan. It's not your kids. And can I tell somebody this morning who's listening or watching? It's not your spouse. Your spouse is not the devil. She may be the devil's sister, but she's not the devil. And can I tell you, your enemy is not your pastor.
Well, right. I mean, okay.
Listen, your enemy is not your church. Your enemy is not, listen, our enemy is not the church down the street. Help me now. Help me now. It's not those other people. It is the enemy. It is Satan himself who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. But what we do is we get distracted. He deceives us. And the number thing that I'm fighting this morning is deception. It's because the enemy tries to get our attention off of him and onto each other. And if he can get our attention onto each other, that's why offense. That's why I don't like to preach on offenses, on an offensive spirit. I hate it because, oh my God, I have a mess the next week in my church because everybody is offended.
Go on. Hello, somebody.
everybody gets offended. I don't like preaching on offense because people get offended. They get offended that I'm preaching about offense. Does that make any sense? And because the enemy has been so manipulative about deception. He started it in the book of Genesis with Eve and Adam. He just deceived them a little bit. Did God really say? Because if he can get you to question God and question yourself, you will be just like God if you eat this. You'll have all knowledge and power. Come on. Hello? Eve wasn't even paying attention that she was talking to a snake. Come on, somebody. Her first thought should have been, why is this snake talking to me? I've heard some theologians say, well, I believe that they could talk to all the animals back. I ain't going there. We talk to our dogs, but that's about it. Come on, somebody. Listen. We need to stop fighting fights and stop fighting people because they aren't your enemy. Look at this picture. This is one of the saddest pictures I've ever seen. Let me tell you the story. You can look this up. This is a true story. You might not be able to see it really close because it's kind of far away, but this is what's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, Israel. And this is where they believe that where Jesus died and was crucified. And so what they built a huge cathedral type edifice in and around where they believe that Jesus died. Okay. In Israel, they erect all these monuments where, in fact, the Church of the Nativity, where they believe where the manger was, where Jesus was born, they've actually built a temple around it and they worship there where they believe that he was. And it's inside of a church. It doesn't even look like what you would think it does. It doesn't look like a barn like what we think. And so this is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, Israel. And if you'll notice, on this beautiful edifice outside of this church cathedral that is owned and managed by six different Christian denominations, okay? And in 1728, there a monk was there and wanting to do some repairs to that window in 1728. This is a recent picture. This picture was taken in 2023. Now, you'll notice that the ladder is still there. Why would the ladder be there from 1728 until now? In 1728, someone put up this ladder outside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. This is close to where they believe that Jesus died and was resurrected. Six different denominations fight over this holy site. And they still, to this day, fight over this ladder. And no one is able to move it. Or they will cause a huge fight and people will die. Because they cannot decide whose ladder it is and whose window it is. So they fight over it. So since 1728, they've been fighting over this. So they've come to an agreement. We'll just leave the ladder there because we cannot agree on where to put the ladder.
Wow.
You see what the enemy has done here? This is the truth. You can look that up. Look up the. It's called the immovable ladder. That's what it's called. It's called the immovable ladder. They have just left it there all of these years, and it is one of the largest battles that Christian denominations face today.
Wow.
Listen to me. I know I went to Castle Grande Union High School, but if my math serves me correct, Wayne, they have been fighting over this ladder for 296 years. Are you listening to me this morning? Meanwhile, if we were to look just below a few feet, a few steps away, not very far away from this ladder, we would see sinners. We would see people who do not know Jesus. We would see the lost. We would see the lame. We would see the outcast. We would see the abused. We'd see the neglected, and we'd see the broken. And just a few miles from where, from as the crow flies, directly to the west of that, just about a mile and a half, is where we are fighting one of the largest wars we have ever faced concerning Israel. And these denominations are fighting so much about a ladder, they have forgotten their mission of reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ because they're so busy fighting each other over a ladder. Now, do you see what the enemy has done? He's got his attention. He's gotten their attention off of him and onto a stupid ladder. And listen, if we're not careful, the enemy will get our eyes off of Jesus, off of our enemy, and onto each other. You think that's bad? You ready for this one? Same church, same group of monks, same group of Christian pastors. Arguments and violent clashes are not uncommon there. In November of 2008, the internet was flooded with videos of a fist fight between the Armenians and the Greek monks in such a dispute. A small section of the roof of the church is disputed between the Coptics and the Ethiopians. At least one Coptic monk in any given time sits there on a chair placed on a particular spot on the roof to express their claim of their roof. On a hot summer day in November of 2008, he moved his chair 20 centimeters so that he could sit in the shade. According to my calculations, 20 centimeters is 7.8 inches. He was hot, he was tired, he was old. He moved his chair 7.8 inches so he could be in the shade. This was interpreted as a hostile act and a violation according to these denominations that called themselves Christians. 11 people were hospitalized after a fight resulting from this provocation. 11 people were hospitalized that day because they moved their chair 7.8 inches to be in the shade. And there is an enemy of our soul. And there are people dying and going to hell, and we are busy fighting over things that aren't worth fighting for. We are fighting an enemy who is not our enemy. We are fighting, listen to me, spouses, we're fighting our spouses, and they are on the same team. It would be like a basketball game and passing the basketball to the opponent. That's what you are doing when you're fighting with your spouse. It's quiet in here now, isn't it? So listen to me. This means war. We must fight deception. We must absolutely get our eyes off of each other and on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and stop looking and stop trying to, because I have learned over the years that you will find what you're looking for. If you want to pick your spouse apart, you can find some negative stuff in all of us to pick them apart. And if you want to have a bad marriage, you can have a bad marriage. If you want to pick each other apart and complain about every little thing that they do or don't do, I don't like this. She wakes up every morning with bad breath. Well, have you smelled your bad breath, Skippy? Skippy, have you smelled your bad breath? It ain't so great either. Why don't you get in the bathroom and brush that thing? Put some mints on the side of your table. Well, she just don't listen to me. Stop it. Stop it. My boss just hates me. My boss is my enemy. No, he's not. Do you really think he's going home thinking about you? Why are you allowing him to rent that much, him or her? Why are you allowing them to rent that much space in your head? Honey, you ain't got that much room in your head. And you're letting them live there rent-free. No, actually, it's not rent-free. It's costing you a lot. It's costing your peace. See, I think sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. We got to be careful that we don't give him too much credit, because sometimes it's just your stinking flesh. And sometimes it's just life. Like if you don't get it, you go to Olive Garden today after church and you don't get a front parking spot. The devil just mad at me. He's trying to fight. No, maybe it's God trying to tell you you need to exercise. Maybe you need to walk because he knows what you're going to eat when you get into Olive Garden. It ain't going to be good for you. You're going to eat way too much pasta, and you probably just need to walk it off. Come on, somebody. So you know what? Praise God, I got a car, and praise God, I found a parking space. I may have to park an In-N-Out Burger, but it's okay. Come on. We need to stop giving the devil credit for some of the things that... when it's sometimes it's just your stinking flesh.
Amen.
The devil mad at me this morning. My coffee pot broke. No, stupid, your coffee pot just broke.
I'm for a new one. Come on.
The devil, I have a puppy. I have a little pit bull puppy. And she's not so little more. She's a little over a year old. And if you get close enough to me this morning, you can see that one of my shoes is eaten up. And these are my favorite, most comfortable shoes. And I don't know if you can see this, but these are brand new shoes. And she chewed the back. She chewed the back of my shoes. Now I could get mad at the devil and be like, see, the devil just, I paid $100 for these shoes. And the devil doesn't want me to have nothing nice. And Satan's just attacking me. These are my favorite shoes. These are my only brown shoes that I, Quit it. Can I tell somebody in the name of Jesus this morning, quit it. Do you really think that Satan cares about my shoes?
No.
But he cares about my attitude.
Amen.
I had a flat tire going to work this morning. Man, the enemy's just fighting me hard. No, you had a flat tire. You ran over a nail. Why are you giving him that much credit for it? Oh, the devil just run. Because the devil's attacking my finances. I had to buy new tires. Tires wear out, y'all.
Yeah. Come on, tell
you. Lerda said, the more you drive them, the more they wear out. Well, guess what? They wear out even if you don't drive them. It's called weather rot.
Come on.
Man, the devil just fighting me. I got to replace my tires. No, you got to replace your tires, stupid. Stop being stupid. The devil just fighting me because I don't have no money for Christmas for my babies this year. No, stupid. Christmas is every year. Why don't you learn how to manage your money instead of your money managing you?
Amen.
And learn how to be... I pay my tithes and I'm still broke because you don't know how to handle your 90%. Because you can still pay your... Can I just tell somebody? You could be broke and still pay your tithes.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you don't handle the 90%...
Free.
The devil just fighting me every... It's your flesh. My wife don't talk to me right. Well, how do you talk to your wife?
Right. Come on.
Hello? My husband don't treat me right. Well, how do you treat your husband?
Hello.
Because last time I checked, it takes two to tango.
Right. Right.
Right? It does. Have you ever tried to tango by yourself?
It's hard
to tango by yourself. I guess you can tang, but you can't go. Come on. We gotta stop it, y'all, and stop fighting each other.
Amen.
But maybe the Lord doesn't want me to come to this church. Stop it.
Quit it.
Maybe the Lord just doesn't want me to be happy.
Come on.
What? Maybe the Lord doesn't want me to be married. Maybe he's working on you so that you can be a catch. Maybe there's some things that he's got to address in your life before he gives you somebody else because he doesn't want you to ruin their life too. Pastor, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? Gotta stop and learn how to be focused. That it's not people. It's not people. It's not. Listen, it's not the internet that's trying to make me sin.
Hello.
The internet is benign. It's neither good nor bad. It is what you put in it.
Right.
Come on. So Somebody recently said, I was at a minister's conference this week for our denomination, and somebody walked up to me and said, well, Pastor, you're on social media an awful lot. And I'm like, no, not really. And he goes, well, you post something every single day. I said, I have a scheduler that posts everything for me. And I have everything posted a week or two in advance, so I'm not having to waste all my time on social media. He said, well, I believe that social media is evil. And I said, well, I've reached thousands of people for the cause of Christ through social media. I guess it's what you make it. If you're going to search for evil, then it's evil. If you're going to search for something good and have a good platform, come on, somebody, then it's evil. Well, I just believe in. And then he went a little further. He said, Pastor, I heard that you're going to be on the radio this Saturday. I said, yes, at 5 p.m. You can tune in if you like to. And he goes, well, I don't even listen to the radio no more because I believe that the radio is evil. And I said, well, not the radio I listen to. I said, the radio that I'm going to tune in at 5 o'clock on 91.1 FM is going to have a message called The Power of Our Praise in there, and people are going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And up to 300,000 people are going to hear my squeaky little voice. And so I guess it's what you make out of it. And so listen, we got to learn how to identify our enemy and stop. And it's not each other, and it's not the internet. Listen, when I was 320 pounds, I could not blame the fork for my obeseness. No. The doctor told me, he said, you're obese. And I said, thank you. Praise God. He said, you're obese. And I said, yeah, you know, I've been working out. He said, no, you're obese. I thought he was calling me a beast. Then he said, this is another sum of advice I'm going to give you. He said, don't eat anything fatty. And I said, okay, I'll start cutting out some fats and things off in my diet. And he said, no, fatty, don't eat anything. So you got to learn how to listen. Come on, somebody. You got to learn how to listen. You got to learn how to listen. So listen to me this morning. Listen, Linda. Stop fighting each other. They took my parking spot. There's another one. They took my seat. I always sit here every Sunday. There's some empty ones. It's okay. I've had people leave our church because they get into a fight with another family. Quit it. Now we make it easy on you. Come to the 11 o'clock service if you don't like the people in the 9 o'clock service. Or better yet, why don't you identify that they're not the problem? Amen. That there's an enemy of their soul that might be using them. See, I've learned a long time ago, listen to me now, that God uses people. Yeah. And I've also learned that the enemy uses people. But we gotta learn and understand that they're just being used. God may use somebody weak in our life to get to us, but they're not the enemy. They're not the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not. And so we have to learn how to fight. And I am so sick and tired of people who are not willing to fight. In this series of messages, oh, I'm going to make the devil mad. Because one of the things that I'm going to talk about in one of these weeks, not next week, in the next couple of weeks, is fighting for life. And I've been studying this, just to give you a little teaser, I've been studying about sanctity of life. And we're going to support very quickly an organization called Preborn. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Preborn, preborn.org. It's a wonderful Christian organization. And what they do is they have these pregnancy clinics set up, and they give free ultrasounds to women who are contemplating abortion. And what happens is they give them a free 3D ultrasound, and they have the mother listen to the baby's heartbeat, and they get to see the baby on the screen. And most of those women, many of those women who see the baby and hear the actual heartbeat of a child inside of that woman's body, decides not to have an abortion and will take that baby to full term. And then they give them Christian-based classes to teach them about the things of God. And this last year, 76,000 women came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. and allowed their babies to be born full term.
Hallelujah.
And so one of the things that we're going to fight for during this series is for life.
Yes.
And we have to learn that we have to fight. And so we're not, listen, but if we fight the woman who wants to have the abortion, that's the wrong fight.
Yep.
That's the wrong fight. See, I am convinced that most of us Christians, we're good at telling people what we can't do and what you shouldn't do. When we should start telling people what we can do and what we can have.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes, there's things that you can't do. Yes, there's things that you shouldn't do. But listen, but there's some things that you can have. You can have life. And you can have peace and you can have joy and you can have an abundant, fantastic life. Listen, this Christian experience is the best experience I've ever had.
Come on.
And listen, if you're not happy as a Christian and you don't have joy as a Christian, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Then you're not serving the same Jesus I'm serving.
Right.
Because this is the best life I've ever had.
Yeah.
Is it hard? Yeah. But guess what? Being in the world was a whole lot harder.
Yeah.
And guess what? And my eternity was not secure. But I've got hell insurance. Come on, somebody. I don't have much of a retirement, but my retirement benefits are literally out of this world.
Hallelujah.
Come on, my retirement benefits are out of this world.
Hallelujah.
I can lay my bald head down on my pillow at night and go, everything's going to be all right. Because my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because I serve a one who is for me and who's not against me. He is my very present help in a time of trouble. And when I breathe my last breath on this earth, my very next breath will be in the arms of my Savior. I don't have to worry about waking up tomorrow and wondering what I did today. I don't have to worry about repenting for today, tomorrow, because I've made some right choices today. I have a grace that follows me. I have a peace that follows me. I have some love letters that I'm able to open up and read every morning to me. His love letter to me. Some of you are always saying, I wish God would speak to me. He does. There's 740,000 words in the New King James Version. I just want God to say something to me. Honey, He's already said it. What else? I guess the question we need to ask is this, Julie. What else do we want Him to say? Because He's not going to say anything that's outside of this. The problem is you just don't like this. Because this apparently is not enough. This must not be enough then. Because we're distracted. We want a word. Honey, we got a word. See how the enemy works? I get you distracted. Because you want something that'll tickle. You want something that'll feel good. This will offend you and hurt your feelings and make you repent and shut up and sit down. We don't want to shut up and sit down and repent. We want to shout and spit and jump all over the place, but we don't want to sit down. Come on, somebody, and shut up and repent and tell Janet, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Janet, I thought you were the devil. But you're not the devil. You're a kind-hearted, God-loving, God-fearing woman. Full of grace and mercy and compassion. And she can make some really good biscuits and gravy. She's not my enemy. Come on. George isn't my enemy. But George didn't shake my hand today coming into church. Maybe George is going through something.
Maybe instead of beating George up about that he didn't shake your hand, maybe you ought to pray for George and say, God, I don't know what he's going through. Normally he's really happy and chipper and skipping around the church, singing, oh, happy day. But today he wasn't. He looked a little bit down. And so, Lord, touch him and bless him in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, whatever he's facing, oh, God, take it. Move it from him in Jesus' name. Touch him and bless him. Oh, God, real good. Bless him so much. Bless his stinking socks right off of his feet. Just recently, I was in our laundry room, and I'm remodeling our laundry room, and there was a bucket about this big, kind of a cloth kind of a bucket thing, that was sitting next to the dryer, and I said, babe, she was in the kitchen, and I said, babe, what is this? And I take this little bucket about this big, and I take it into the kitchen. I go, what is this? She goes, that is what I call the mystery box. Y'all might know what I'm talking about. Yep. She said, that is what I call the mystery box. I said, what is the mystery box? And so right by our island in our kitchen, I just dumped the container out onto the floor, and it was a gray sock and a blue sock and a white sock and a pink sock and a black sock and a navy blue sock, a Nike sock, a Under Armour sock. It was, there wasn't one matching sock in there whatsoever. And I said, do you know why we have this mystery box? She said, why? I said, because I pray that God would just bless our socks off. And maybe what I did by mistake was I said, Lord, bless our sock off. And he blessed one sock off, and these are the remaining socks. And so I said, where's the other one? She said, I don't know. She said, God must have blessed that one, and it's gone now. Kind of like Enoch, it walked with God and then was not. I don't know what happened. And I said, well, I'm going to fix these blessings. And I put them back in the container, and I threw the whole thing away. But listen, you know what some of you think about that story? We need to rebuke the devil out of that dryer. Because that dryer is demonic, and it's stealing our money and our socks. Listen, there are some churches that think there's a demon under every pew, under every chair. Listen, we lost some socks, y'all. I think it was Lola. I think it was my dog Lola who chewed up my shoe. I think they're probably scattered and planted in the backyard somewhere, and I'm waiting until the springtime when all these socks start growing in my backyard. Because the weeds are growing, come on somebody. But I'm waiting for the sock to harvest. Come on, because she's been stealing my socks. It just happens, y'all. And you know what? You know what? God has blessed us. We're able to buy more socks. Amen. Amen. Am I gonna fight over the socks that are lost, or am I just gonna throw them away and buy new socks? See, we're fighting over stupid stuff, y'all. Who drank my coffee? Make another pot. I remember my mom and my stepdad for years in their kitchen, they had two coffee pots because he wanted one kind of, he liked it really, really strong, like cowboy coffee, and she wanted it a little bit lighter. So rather than fight, they just got two coffee pots. So she made her coffee pot lighter, and he made his as thick as he wanted it and as nasty as he wanted it. So, and I love that. I love that idea because it kept them from fighting over stupid stuff.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And can I tell you, in talking about this is war, y'all, we fight over stupid stuff.
Amen. Amen.
I've had people, when 10 years ago, this last April, 10 years ago, we remodeled the sanctuary. We had pink pews. Remember that, Gilbert? We had pink pews. They were pink. The carpet was gray, 25 years old, and everything in here was white and gray. I'm talking kick you in the face, white. I'm talking glow in the dark, white, gray. And so literally it was gray and all white, and somebody came up with the idea. They said, it was my youth pastor at the time, said, why don't we paint the ceilings black? And it kind of gives a different feel, different dimension, and the lights will pop a little bit better. It'll be a little bit, it'll change the atmosphere a little bit in here, and we do some of the stuff on the stage. It'll be black, and we'll change out the. And I actually had people quit the church because I painted the ceiling black. I painted the ceiling flat black. To just change it because it had been this way for 30 years and I wanted something to change, and I had been in other sanctuaries before and I saw it and I thought it looked cool. And they walked up to me the weekend that we dedicated our new sanctuary and new chairs and new lighting and new TVs and new projectors and new carpet, new layout of the stage, the rock fascia, we did over $100,000 worth of new sound equipment, new lights, new video, new wiring. Everything in this room is LED, everything. And so a little less than $100,000 worth of remodel just in this room alone. And it took weeks and weeks and weeks. And I had people that came in and they said, "Well, I'm quitting this church." I said, "Why?" "Because you painted the ceiling black." They said, "When we used to live in the world, we used to go to a bar and the bar had black ceilings." And I said, but wait a minute. This is just a color. It's just black. It's no different than white. It's water and some chemicals." I said, "Did that bar that you go to or went to? Did they win 150 people a year to Jesus? And did 150 people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And are people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are people being delivered from drugs and alcohol and sexual addiction? Is that the bar that you were going to before? Because if that's the bar that you go to and it's in town, I'd like to go." If there is a bar winning 150 people to Jesus and people are getting filled and changed for the glory of God, then I want to go to that bar and get a drink of that. And their mouth just dropped and they said, "We will never be back because this place looks like a bar." Okay, if you go into a bar and you sense the Holy Spirit like you do in here, let me know and I'll come with you. I'll buy you your first drink of Dr. Pepper. Come on.
Thank you for listening today to In the Word with Roy Edwards. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by the Word today. Be sure to follow Pastor Edwards on social media, YouTube, and you can also listen to these messages on any podcast platform you consume content. Just search for In the Word with Roy Edwards and enjoy. We will be back next week with more messages to encourage you in the Word.